Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're at Pluckers in Dallas. This is the Greenville Lovers location. It's centrally located for folks on the Dallas side of town. And man, it would mean the world to us to pack this place today. I mean, we're sending out the bat signal. We need you Tolos. We need you loyal Ben and Skin Show supporters. This is our first lunchtime remote at a Pluckers since we've changed day parts. And we need to show the world, including our friends at Pluckers, hey, that our listeners will come out and have lunch with us. So if we owe you a favor, if you owe us money, if there's anything out there like that, if you've asked us to stay away from your mom and we've done that, mm-hmm. whatever it is, if you owe us, we need you. And if you just want to do a solid for us, we need you to come join us at Pluckers in Dallas today. We would love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've always had a lot of success with Pluckers during happy hour because, let's face it, our listeners like to drink beer and whiskey. And eat wings.
Some wings.
A lot of you probably aren't going to drink beer on your lunch break, or maybe some of you are getting off the morning shift. Either way, come on out and have lunch with us. It's right here at Lovers and Greenville. This is a great location. We've always had a lot of fun here, and we plan on having a lot of fun today.
Yeah, this is going to be a great show. And something we failed to mention in the mix with Sean and RJ is that we have royalty on our show today.
Oh.
The great Michael Young. Michael Young joins us today. It's either going to be at 12:40 or 1. He's getting his number retired on Saturday. So that is huge. Michael Young joins us today.
I love when we had Woody on yesterday, and he said, I got here, and I was like, how come number 10's not retired out there? Well, they got that taken care of. And it's interesting. It's like they could have done it in the new ballpark, where it was the weather was a little bit nicer because they could control the environment. But they're like, no, we need to retire our all-time hit leader's number this year at Globe Life because he did his damage at Globe Life. And so the weather god said, all right, cool. We love Michael Young so much, we'll lower the temp a couple degrees. So it's looking like the temperatures will be very tolerable for Michael Young's jersey retirement ceremony on Saturday.
Now, I don't know this for certain, but Skin and I are such Michael Young fanboys that KT has always felt the need to balance things out, so he's kind of mm-hmm. trashed Michael Young. I don't know if, KT, will you be picketing the ballpark over the weekend to try to keep Michael's number from being retired?
No, I'm going. Yeah, I'm going to be dressed up like a clown, and I'm going to be at the game.
A clown in a tin jersey, yeah. That'd be great.
Saturday's going to be a big day, man. We got a little cornhole action at Reservoir in Las Colinas, and then once that's over, I'm headed out to the ballpark to be on field, and really just kind of run on the field on my own.
Right, what are you doing on the field? Yeah, you're just running out there in
down
a clown
the field.
Costume?
Yeah, a clown, but I'll also be in full baseball uniform as well.
Oh,
like a
baseball
clown. Just to see how Michael reacts.
So do you put on the full clown uniform and then the baseball uniform over it?
Yeah.
Hot beating that is.
Yeah, full body paint or just face paint?
I'm just painting, face paint.
Okay.
I'm just paying full tribute to him and wear my Michael Young jersey.
Will you, when we have him on the show today, question his hero's average?
No, he knows.
Zero, isn't it?
What?
What?
You too?
Whoa, dude,
no,
it was like 129. I don't know why he's bringing up zero.
I don't think he ever got a hit. I don't think
it's possible. Yeah. It's quite possible.
I don't think so.
Nah, he's at like hit like 150.
I think he reached base on error.
He's like in a Rugie area.
You guys drew me off sides. I cannot believe you guys are trashing the great Michael Young. But you're not really trashing.
Let's just say that heroes won't retire his number. He's a great guy.
Michael Young joins us today at 12:40 or 1. We're very much looking forward to that. That'll be awesome. And man, in terms of today's show, we also have the final preseason game today, and you know, with the Cowboys actually having a super solid roster with lots of depth, there are some intriguing aspects to the most meaningless game in all of football, the final preseason game.
Yeah, and you know, Ben, we go to The Athletic on a regular basis because there's so much good content there, They had a really interesting piece taking every team in the league with its surplus and its deficit of needs. And there was so many great conversations on the station the last couple days about they're loaded at offensive line and they're loaded at defensive line. And as we know, you get to this point, if you're going to cut a good player, you'd much rather trade that good player and get a little something for him. And a lot of teams, they go, oh, well, why wouldn't the team just wait till you cut him? Well, sometimes it depends on where you are in the waiver wire. And if they really want your player, they're willing to give up a pick or a player that they have a surplus for it. And so tonight is really important in that regard, especially when you're watching this game, looking at offensive line and defensive line to see who shines, because Cowboys can't keep them all. They're really loaded in those areas.
Yeah, they are, and it makes you wonder, will there be some trade activity? Like, could the Cowboys, instead of cutting somebody that a team wants, could they trade those guys and pick up some additional picks? And there seems to be some murmurs and whispers and irresponsible rumors floating around with regard to Taco Charlton. And I was listening today to Sean and RJ on my way in, and they were talking about this idea that, hey, man, it's possible that the Cowboys could trade or flat-out release Taco. And I'm like, what, dude? He has overachieved so mightily this preseason, and he's been one of the most dominant players, at least in their preseason games, and he's even flashed some in practice. I'm like, wait a second, you're finally getting value out of a first-round pick that I had already written off as a bust. Is it possible that they're so loaded everywhere that they would actually cut Taco?
So here's the thing, and Fish has been big on this, and we talked about this a lot last year. For Taco, he has already set a precedent of moping around and being a negative influence. And so when you look at the depth and the quality of the guys that they have on the defensive line, both inside and out, and you're sitting here and you're making these decisions and you have some intangibles that you work through the decisions, do you want a guy who's been around for 2 years and been negative and moped and said that his agent was his leader? Do you want that? And so I have the opinion that I know that he got banged up a little bit in last week's game or Saturday night game against the Texans. I personally think it's in the Cowboys' best interest to hold Taco out of tonight's game. Don't even risk him putting any negative tape out there. And then actively try to trade him if you feel like you don't want him. Because all you have is three preseason games of him surging. You pull him out of the game. You pull your players out of the final preseason game for two reasons. Number one, they're big-time contributors and they're squared away, and you don't even want to risk injury. Or number two, they're banged up a little bit. So both of those kind of fit, right? In other words, we don't need to showcase Taco anymore. We've showcased him. Look at his numbers. The guy had two sacks and a fumble and a fumble recovery last week. You can't shine any more than that. Let's not put any more tape out there. Let's see if we can get a fourth-round pick for him.
Unless there's no market out there for him. Unless they've been talking to teams and teams are like, nah, we want to see if you cut him. Right. We're not going to give up anything of value. If that's the case and there's teams going, I need to see a little more. We don't know how tough he is. Is he hurt? You know,
for
we're
sure.
Just going to wait and see how this plays out. And if that's the case, it would make sense for him to go out there and play tonight and do something else positive to solidify a market out there for him. But, man, I kind of was ready to see them get something out of that first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Now, it's true that the best organizations aren't beholden to that and don't say, well, we drafted this guy, we have to play him. You know, they move on. I was listening to them talk about that this morning, and I agree. Is it time for them to admit that Taco was a mistake and just move on, or are they finally getting some returns, and is it worth seeing this thing out? I do wonder, you know, his comments about his agent and those things really do stand out, and has he worn out his welcome here? That's possible. So it will be intriguing to see if he plays tonight. Maybe there's enough tape out there that there's a market for him. But if there's talk also of him just being released, that's usually not good for a trade.
Right.
Hey, the Cowboys are thinking about trading Taco. Or releasing him.
Right.
And that's bad for the marketplace right there.
And that's why you usually, when people look at these deals and go, you only got a fifth? It's like, well, the reason you got a fifth is someone gave you a fifth-round pick so they could bump themselves up in the waiver wire because they thought the player wasn't going to end up landing to them. Someone else would make the claim before that. Or, you know, and that's the deal with Taco. Taco is a first-round pick. Taco's got 2 years. Really, the best stretch of football Taco's ever played is these three preseason games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was Kavanaugh that made this point, and I hadn't thought about it until, you know, I after hearing him say this and thinking back to it. The best thing Taco did in that third preseason game was get hurt and then come back out and play. Because so many people do question his toughness, That was a big sign. But I think the Cowboys are probably to the point with him where it's like, well, it's over there walking like a duck and quacking, so I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not a duck anymore. I mean, he's been here long enough. Now, sometimes guys can turn a corner, right, and put the negativity behind them and figure things out and start moving forward. The Cowboys would know that better than anybody because they've been at practice with him every single day. And if his behavior and body language and some of these things are just like they've always been, they would know that despite what he's shown all of us on the outside in these three preseason games.
Just got a text message here. You can text message us at any point, 877-881-1053. From the 817, I'm coming to join you guys at Pluckers in Dallas on Greenville. Thank you very much. God bless you. We hope all of you listening right now are able to come have lunch with us today at Pluckers in Dallas off Lovers in Greenville. KT, where are you on the whole taco situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think you let him play tonight, and I think he's going to make the team just because I think of the Quinn injury, because that's going to save a roster spot for 2 weeks, and that's where I think they will probably carry 10 would be my guess. Depending how you know define Tyrone Crawford and Kerry Hyder, defensive linemen, defensive ends, you look at the whole realm of it, yeah, they're going to carry 10 guys on the defensive line and be really strong there. I think offensive line is the backup offensive line, I think, is a weakness. I think something they need to take a look at.
Now, tell me why you think that's a weakness, because most people are listing that as a strength for this team.
Yeah, I just don't see that. Xavier Suofilo, we've seen him go get playing time, and we haven't seen it be very good.
Are you not counting McGovern? Is that the thing?
Well, McGovern's hurt, yeah. Until McGovern's in the mix, I mean, it's real hard for me to take him seriously, right?
He's on the pup to start the year, right?
I think so.
Like, he's going to move to that six-game pup or whatever they call it.
Yeah, he's got the boob injury. And then Cam Fleming, you know, everything I saw at camp, I didn't see much out of him, so it was nothing that was overwhelming. The question is if Tyron, and Tyron's the one I'm more worried about of the starters with injuries, it's more Tyron than Zach just because it's been a historical thing. Mm-hmm. If Tyron goes down, are you comfortable with Cam Fleming in there? I don't know. And I heard Mickey talking about some of that stuff yesterday, and I was like, oh, man.
I'm more
comfortable. Mickey's in the building talking to a lot of guys. I think there's concern about Cam Fleming and how he would hold up if he was asked to play a lot.
They wouldn't do it, but I'd be more comfortable moving Connor to the outside and plugging Joe Looney in there.
Hey, what?
I mean, well, hold on. If Suofilo is already seen as the guard over Looney, what does that tell you?
Well, I think the main reason for that is because of Travis and center and just keeping. I think they wanted to keep Joe Looney flexible. I mean, we've heard different things from, like you said, people inside the building, but I think they all regard Joe as a better offensive lineman than Xavier. And I think if push came to shove, they would let Joe be your guard.
Well, the big story in Cowboy land are the Ezekiel Elliott negotiations, and they have been complicated here of late because Zeke's agent, Rocky Arsenault, is also Marshall Faulk's former agent, and Marshall Faulk is rumored to work for that agency. I had somebody reach out to me and tell he's taken the agent exam and everything. And so Marshall Faulk, if he's going to both be a media personality and give opinions, at the same time be a part of an agency, at the same time go spend time with Zeke in Cabo, boy, this is not a good look.
As a Cowboy fan, I always want things to go smoothly so they can go win at the highest level. That obviously has not been the case since, the mid to early 90s. But on that level, I want Zeke here and ready to rock and roll. But as people that have to come on the air and talk about sports 4 hours a day, I'd like to thank Zeke for causing all this drama and creating all this chaos. And there seems to be new wrinkles to it every couple of days, guys. And the current wrinkle is the involvement of Marshall Faulk. Now, he's been very vocal on several media platforms commenting on Zeke's situation in relation to his teammates. And please understand this. That is a cardinal professional sports sin. You do not start commenting on how much money your teammates should be making. They do not do that. I can't think of any sport that's okay in. It doesn't happen. And they don't even do it with team guys on other teams. That's part of that fraternity. Don't get into my money. And Marshall Faulk is throwing Zeke in the middle of this, and Zeke's not even speaking for himself, but he is guilty by association, and the way that Ben worded it earlier is it's all happening on Zeke's tab. Let's get into some of these comments first and then really break down the situation. Let's start by going back in time to last week. Last Thursday, he was on with Rich Eisen. It's clip number one, Shippy. And here he is opining on Dak as a quarterback.
knowing the quarterback situation in terms of being paid, as you pointed out, is he one of the bum quarterbacks that you're talking about?
He will be. Once they give him that kind of money, based on his work, he'll be a bum.
All right. So we can talk about context and all those kinds of things, but he went there. Yeah, and keep in mind, this is a guy who is currently going through contract negotiations. Marshall Faulk is inserting himself into the Dak Prescott contract negotiations by making those comments.
Right. And let's be clear here. He is not a current on-air media personality anywhere, correct?
I don't believe so.
Not an opinion. He was suspended by the NFL Network.
I was told that he sat for the agent's exam and that he is partners with Rocky Arsenault, which to me muddies the water and complicates things even further. And I talked to one league source who was talking about what a terrible look this is for Arsenault, that Marshall Faulk is ruining all this, like making Zeke look bad, making Arsenault look bad, but it could be that he's feeling the pressure that he's about to get fired from Zeke, and so he called in Marshall to help him and come down and calm him down. Hey, here's a running back legend who believes in me, and right. Now he's out, but he's with by him trashing Jalen Smith and trashing Dak. I mean, he is essentially the only mouthpiece out there, the only person talking for Zeke. Arsenault isn't talking. Zeke isn't talking. So it's easy to make that leap and say, hey, man, is this guy representing your thoughts, Zeke? I mean, whether he is or isn't, the perception is there that he is.
And here's the other problem with this, Ben. So we talk about what is and isn't a distraction, okay? Hey, guys, Zeke is not in camp. Well, that's one level of distraction. Then going to Jalen Smith's locker and going, hey, Jalen, what did you think about what Marshall Faulk said about you not earning your money and he's tying himself to Zeke? That's a different level of distraction. There's levels of distractions. That is a way different one. You don't want to stand at your – it's one thing to stand at your locker and go, hey, when do you need Zeke here? No comment. That's Zeke. Hey, what do you think about Zeke's camp saying this about you and your contract? That's a different right. level of distraction. That's Zeke, antagonizing.
The way that Zeke can get out of this bad look is by firing Arsenault. Mm-hmm. He needs to get a new agent. Because if he fires Arsenault, then he tells the locker room, hey, man, I wasn't cool with all this.
Right.
This was not good. He was not authorized to speak for me. He was given his opinion. You know what? This has become a disaster. I'm out.
But didn't he already go and work out with Zeke?
Yeah.
Now and he did that after saying what
after.
We just played
right.
you.
Which to me, like when this story first came out and he Marshall Faulk was talking about, whatever comment he made about Dak being a bum that we just listened to, like I thought, okay, well, I didn't know he was in bed with the agency.
And he'll be a bum.
I didn't know he was a part of the agency. And when he said he was going to Cabo to work out with Zeke, that was simultaneously when we were hearing Zeke's flying back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, this guy is so unplugged. He's talking about going to Cabo when Zeke's coming back from Cabo. So I didn't really give it a lot of merit. I thought, man, maybe. But then when Zeke did stay in Cabo and then Faulk did go there and work out with him, it gave all that way more credence.
And one of the things that we talked about on that Friday was that Marshall Faulk was representing Arsenault's side, because if Zeke really was flying back and Arsenault still wanted to squeeze more, They have to put that other thing. No, Zeke's not coming back. No, Zeke's here working out. In fact, I'm Marshall Faulk, and I'm going to go work out with him. There's not any progress. And so there's two sides putting out information here. Okay? So one of the things that happened then is after that weekend, Jalen Smith got his deal done. And when Jalen Smith got his deal done, we played you the audio from the press conference here on The Fan, and we talked about the fact that some of Jerry Jones's comments, it was clear that it was talking about Zeke's situation without mentioning Zeke's name. Hey, the guys that want to be Cowboys and see the benefit of Cowboys, boy, they get their deals done, even when they're not up. All right? That clearly is a discussion about Zeke.
Sure.
Because there's one player who's not in camp. It's Zeke. Everybody else who's unhappy with their contracts, they're still there. They're still playing. They're still a part of the team. So now Marshall Faulk decides to bring Jalen Smith into the conversation on the Dan Patrick Show.
But if you think about what Jalen Smith did and what he got compared to what Zeke has done and what he is asking for, it's not even close. It's not even close.
Well, why?
They drafted a linebacker in the first round last year. If they thought so much of Jalen, I mean, you dropped another linebacker in the first round?
Dude, why? why would he go there? And so it, the one thing that if I'm trying to make sense of that, he's trying to make the Le'Veon Bell argument. All right, because sensibly you can go, they're not the same position. They don't do the same things. And if the reports are accurate, the Cowboys are offering Zeke a deal, total value, not guaranteed, but average year, which is how all of these deals are reported, so that agents can pound their chest and go, look at the per-year deal I got. They talk about it differently than the way it really matters. We always talk about this. It's guaranteed money, but they always report on average year, and that's how these things are always discussed publicly. So why would you go there? Jalen Smith took a deal that would be less than what Zeke is making. And so what Marshall Faulk is saying is Zeke needs to be paid outside of the running back market because he's so important to this team. But why would you drag Jalen's name into this?
It's a bad look for Zeke. Again, now you've got somebody speaking for your camp, right or wrong. He's his own man, but he works for the agency. He's working out with you in Cabo, and now he's trashing the Jalen Smith contract. And this is where it really gets muddy, because if you want to be fair and look at it from all sides, the Jalen Smith contract happened because there was an opportunity there. Because Dak was asking for so much money, Zeke's asking for so much money, Amari's asking for so much money, this was a part of the negotiations for the Joneses to say, oh, look at this. Somebody wants to give us a team-friendly deal because they want to be a Cowboy. In your face, gentlemen. Maybe you should hurry up and get here before the bank closes. On top of that, I'm fascinated by the Dez Bryant stuff. Jason Cole had this out there about an interesting story about Dez Bryant. And Dez Bryant put it out on Instagram, said this is the realest story anyone's ever written about him. And Cole says the Cowboys have been bypassing agents and breaking rules by doing it for years. The late, great Eugene Parker told a funny story about Jerry talking directly to Dez Bryant at one point. Dez has a great reaction to Jerry, from what I was told. So the story is the late Eugene Parker says that Jerry Jones called Dez to the stadium and asked Dez to meet him at the stadium. And they were in Jerry's suite looking over the field, and Jerry was talking about the contract with Dez. And at that point, Dez said something to the effect that he didn't want to talk about the contract directly with Mr. Jones. Jerry pushed a little bit, and Dez said, Mr. Jones, what would happen if you tried to cover me on that field? Pointing down to the field. Jerry says, well, Dez, you'd kill me. Dez says, well, Mr. Jones, then why would I want to negotiate a contract against you?
Awesome.
Pretty classic.
Awesome.
Parker laughed pretty hard. I've had three other agents say the same type of story. And I think this is why the Joneses were so disappointed that Zeke shocked them by not showing up for camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm saying is this sets up for a kind of a nasty negotiation. And the longer it goes, the nastier it gets. And so it's very, very ugly right now, and Faulk is not helping things. But this is exactly why Zeke is in Cabo as far away from the Joneses as he can possibly be.
This is a pretty good text from the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Someone says, seems to me like this is a great way for Zeke to say taboo things with a convenient layer of plausible deniability between him and the sentiment.
That's the way the players look at it.
There's
a lot of listeners that are going, you guys are crazy. I'm telling you, this is the way players look at this stuff.
Absolutely.
They are treating Marshall Faulk like he is speaking for Zeke. And if Zeke texts them, if they respond to his text, it's going to be something to the effect of, you need to get your boy under control. They don't go for this, dude. And I've had people, you know, tweet me and say, well, what about in your life? This is professional athlete world. This ain't like our world. It's nothing like our world. Yeah. And that is a cardinal sin. Think about the insanity of this. Players in football are more concerned with a knee injury than a head injury. If you really want to take a step back and try to wrap your brain around that world, if a player goes at their knee, they look at that as one of the worst things you can do. Over going to the head, because a knee injury drops your contract value.
Yeah.
In football, that is the number one thing. How much can you get on your contract? And Dak Prescott is currently in a negotiation, and another guy on his team that is also in a negotiation has a representative for him taking shots at his value. If you don't think that that's a problem, I'm sorry. You're just not really looking hard enough.
Another text on the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, and I think we should just throw this out there to play the other side just for a second. And this guy says, I hope Zeke is reaching out to Dak and Jalen privately and saying, these words are not mine.
Yep.
Because Zeke doesn't have to go tweet out,
no,
Marshall Faulk. But he could do that to Dak and Jalen.
They could.
And any of the other teammates and say, look, dudes, they ain't me.
They're responding. Right. He needs to do that. And
it could happen. It could have already happened.
This whole thing is on his tab.
Yes.
And regardless, is he going to call every single player in the locker room? I mean, this is a bad look, and I truly feel that the only way for Zeke to get out of this right now is to fire his agent. Faulk has muddied the waters, and he's not just some media personality just giving opinions. He works for the agency. That's what I've been told. I've been told he sat down for the agent's exam, like I said, and that's kind of, he's morphing into that type of a role.
That's the guy who, like, presented Marshall. When Marshall Faulk went to the Hall of Fame, his presenter was Rocky Arsenault. Okay. Like, they're best friends.
So here's the other thing that you should consider on all this, too, because I think this is a factor. And I think this has been, you mentioned that maybe Rocky Arsenault is amping up the tactics because out of fear.
Yeah.
So, and several people have said this. One of Zeke's number one fears, if we want to make jokes, it's FOMO, the fear of missing out. I can promise you that Zeke is not happy being sequestered from the rest of his teammates. These are when good things are happening. These are when guys are bonding. And we've talked about their schedule. Zeke does not want to be somewhere else while their team is moving on without him in a positive direction.
Right.
And that's where the agent really feels the pressure, is if his client is starting to buckle with, we're going to draw a line in the sand. Watch this. The Cowboys are going to cave. That's all fine and good when you're in Oxnard. When your team is here and they start winning games, the dudes that want to be a part of things are really going to start freaking out.
And again, they start with the Giants. That's a win. They play the Redskins. That's a win. They play the Dolphins. That's the win. They're the worst team in the league. They should start out 3-0, even without Zeke. And, you know, the thing that I find myself thinking about, like, and look, we're in the opinion business. It doesn't suit us to ride the fence. You try to get as much data as you can. I don't feel like Tony Pollard is an every down guy. He's just never been that. And when he sat across from us and we asked him about it, I didn't get the sense he had the confidence to be that. But what if he is? What if he is? What if I don't think he is, and I think they're really going to miss Zeke. I really do. But what if they come out and he runs for 100 yards a game in the first three games? I mean, this is not going to get better for Zeke, and so it's getting ugly now. It's getting nasty. It's spilling out into the media. Marshall Faulk is doing him zero favors. I think the best thing that can happen for Zeke is to fire them, save face, get a deal done, come to camp, and say, man, I'm happy to be a part of this. Let's go, because it's gotten so ugly that I think it's damaging Zeke.
Clarence Hill just posted a story. And it kind of ties into what Pro Football Talk was saying about when Zeke might show up based on Jerry's comments yesterday. So basically what Clarence Hill is saying right now is that there is optimism with the Cowboys that Zeke is going to get a deal done. Jerry Jones has not talked to holdout running back Ezekiel Elliott in a while, according to Clarence, but Vice President Stephen Jones has in recent days talked to those sides. They're in a stalemate. Sounds like, according to Clarence, at least the Cowboys have not really budged on the offer that they've made. And so Clarence is saying the two sides are really far apart. But I think these are interesting numbers to think about, Ben. There was Pro Football Talk was taking what Jerry said yesterday on our station about the dog days of the season, and we want Zeke for the playoffs to mean that, well, if he comes and plays the final eight games of the season, there's an old Joey Galloway arbitration that indicates that he can get service time if he plays the final eight games and then would be able to move into next season on his next salary. However, if he doesn't play these first eight games, he's going to be giving up $226,000 a game plus more than $2 million in fines. So if you miss eight games, that's basically $4 million that you're missing out on. But it would move him further down the line, have less wear and tear on his body. So the Pro Football Talk people are taking that as an indication that Zeke's strategy is to be here for the final eight games and just give up really his entire salary for the year in order to do it and move from that 3.8 number to the $9 million number next year.
Wow. And I, you know, if things continue to go down this path and they get super ugly, you know, what type of Zeke arrives? I've wondered that, you know, because there's all this talk, hey, Zeke just needs to get here. Well, if he gets here and he doesn't have a deal, I mean, he may not be full power Zeke. He may not be fully bought in. He might be, you know what, I don't feel good. I don't, you know, my hammy hurts. I don't, you know, trade me. I don't know anything. He may, you know, there's no guarantee he arrives and he's like, all right, I'm here, man, and thanks for not giving me what I wanted. Now let me lead the league in carries and yards per game. I got this, you know.
Especially if the way these numbers work, he'd be playing this season for free.
I mean,
if the Cowboys want to go ahead and punish him with $2 million of fines.
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at the final eight games, that's $2 million. $2 million of fines and $2 million of salary equals a wash.
Man, I was reading a Joel Corey article about the three top contracts, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and David Johnson. And they were talking about, you know, they have the total guarantee, fully guaranteed, signing bonus, three-year cash flow, first 3 years, average per year, all those different things. And they're really a lot closer than I thought when you look at it. You know, the fully guaranteed amounts and the three-year cash flows, they're all pretty similar. I mean, if you look at the total guarantee for Gurley was 45, Le'Veon's was 35. I thought it was 27, but there's total guarantee and then there's fully guaranteed. There's the signing bonus. Gurley got 21, Le'Veon got 8, David Johnson got 12. The three-year cash flow is $40 million for Gurley, $39.5 for Le'Veon. David Johnson is $31.8. First 3 years, $47 for Gurley, $39.5 for Le'Veon, $39 for David Johnson. And so if you look at the maximum value of Gurley's deal, it's $15 million per year because of escalators. The maximum value of Bell's deal is $15 million per year because of incentives and salary escalators. The maximum value of Johnson's deal, $15 million per year because of incentives. So you can kind of see the framework of the deal. It's just, okay, what is the snag? Is it the Cowboys aren't comfortable with the guarantee? That, you know, what or did Zeke's team come in with like a CAA Dak type ask? Like, were they asking for over 20?
Isn't it interesting when you look at those numbers, Ben, that when we had Stephen Jones on talking about this, he said, and David Johnson, if you want to consider him a part of this, and that's all kind of lumped together. I really think this, based on what Marshall Faulk was saying, they're taking the Le'Veon Bell approach. He just compared Zeke to Jalen Smith. In what world do you do that? Well, you do that if you go, man, we don't need to make the same money as Jalen Smith. Zeke means way more. Okay, but you're talking about paying him outside of his position then. So that was the Le'Veon Bell approach. His agent said it publicly. We don't look at Le'Veon as a running back. We look at him as just a football offensive machine. So he's not going to get paid like a running back. Well, guess what? At the end of the day, he got paid like a running back. He got paid like one of the top running backs, but he still got paid like a running back. That sounds to me that if you want to take Marshall Faulk at face value, he's saying, no, we're not paying Zeke like a running back. Don't talk about Jalen. Zeke means way more than Jalen. We're paying him outside of his position group.
Again, I talked to an agent today who told me this is such crap. Like, this deal could get done in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a complicated thing. And when you look at Gurley, Le'Veon, and David Johnson, okay, there's the market. There's the parameters. And
that's what the Cowboys are saying, too.
And now you have Rocky Arsenault, you know, bringing in Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk slinging mud and poop all over the place. And it makes you go, okay, wait a second. What are they really asking for? You know, we've talked about Dak and CAA asking for over $40 million a year. Maybe that's what Arsenault did. And maybe he promised Zeke, no, don't worry about the diminishing value of the position. You're Zeke.
Right.
I got this, man. I got you.
Right.
Look at all these running backs. I think he might have been Emmitt's agent. I'm not sure. But he definitely was Marshall Faulk's, and now Marshall Faulk is working there. And I could be totally wrong on that. I was just looking at pictures of Arsenault with all these great running backs, so I was assuming they were all with him. I could be wrong about that. But anyways, this thing has gotten ugly, unnecessarily so, and it does make you wonder, are there outlandish requests here?
I like your angle, too, that Arsenault's feeling the pressure and cranking it up, because an agent feels the pressure when either one of two things happens. The market changes. Do you guys think anything happened that made the market change?
No.
All right. Or number two, your client can't take it and is starting to break rank.
Sure. And, dude, think about how easy this was for them. Stephen Jones was on record saying, well, you got the Gurley deal and we'll probably start there.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We're good. We'll start there. And you should be able to go in and say, hey, we'll take the Gurley deal. Let's go. Or no, give us a 1% raise. And so what are they asking for here?
You know what else happened, though, Ben? Now the Gurley deal is a bad deal because Gurley's not even a featured back anymore. Gurley is not even a featured back anymore. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Let's move on to this. Before we play this clip from yesterday's show with Sean and RJ, if you like to follow some of these basketball Twitter accounts that post a lot of pickup games and stuff, Luca's back in town and was hooping it up at Prestonwood Baptist yesterday. I always call it Prestonwood Baptist. I believe it's Prestonwood Christian Academy. But, dude, it was really fun to see Luke out there, and he looked slim in these cuts. He looked ready to rock and roll. He was playing with Monte Ellis. He was playing with Dorian Finney-Smith. He's playing with the new rookie Isaiah, and he was just dropping dimes, and they were finishing. It was really fun to watch.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude, he's totally slimmed down, which it makes you wonder, okay. When you think about Porzingis too, the pictures that we've seen, you posted a side by side of him with the Knicks and him now. I mean, he
is crazy,
huge,
crazy.
He looks like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, man.
And
his posture is even better. You can tell he's like done core work and he stands up straighter.
Yeah. And it was the other day. It was Ramona Shelbourne was on the station, right?
Yes.
And she was talking about how, hey, you know, the Knicks, they had concern about his health moving forward, about his body, and you know, that's one of the reasons they were willing to move on from him. Well, it makes perfect sense the way the Mavs and Team Porzingis played this then to rebuild his body and get him to the point where he is now. And if they're total, I mean, Porzingis clearly bought in. Seeing this footage of Luka and being as slim as he looks, man, it's got me super stoked for Mavs season.
Okay, you mentioned Ramona Shelbourne. Let's hear this. I was driving down the road listening to the interview. Great stuff from Sean and RJ. And she's on there promoting the 30 for 30 podcast she did about Donald Sterling, the owner of the Clippers, and him getting ousted and all the crazy racist stuff he said and how uncomfortable he made players. And it's a really very layered, incredible story, really, in the history of sports. But they were talking to her about, she also covers the Lakers because she's in L.A., and what it was like covering LeBron as a Laker. And listen to what she had to say about LeBron as a Laker.
Covering LeBron, I thought it felt surreal because it didn't feel like LeBron was really here. Like, does that make sense? Like, he was in Los Angeles, but there wasn't really a connection to the place. It was like, here's LeBron, and he was with the Lakers, but not really. It was almost like he never planted any roots down. He never grew or anything like that. And, you know, the team didn't win. So you had all the hoopla and everything surrounding LeBron, but there wasn't like really an embrace at all. And we'll see if that's going to be different in year two.
All right. There's two aspects of this that I'm really fascinated by, Ben. Number one, that's the idea that he got there and knew they weren't going to be any good. So it was like, all right, let's just have an audition and see if I like any of these people. And, you know, we talked about him when he was hurt, not being on the bench, drinking wine with the executives in a box. That's not putting your roots down. That's separating yourself from your teammates. But it reminded me of one other incredible thing. Remember a couple of weeks ago when that David Griffin story came out in Sports Illustrated? And he was saying some things that a lot of people are critical of, including the idea that once LeBron won that championship for the city of Cleveland, he exhaled. And then he made all of his energies, instead of being the greatest basketball player in the world and winning championships, all of his energies came about, will I one day own an NBA team and will I one day play with my son? And I thought, you know, Griffin got killed for saying that, but he lived that. And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of people like, hey, once Dirk got a championship, he exhaled. We talk about the nature of things. Once you pour everything into this one accomplishment and you get it, human nature is going to make you exhale. And I thought those are really interesting comments. She covered LeBron for a full year and never really felt like he was connected with the team.
Wow. And, you know, I think part of that was he immediately wanted to trade everybody.
Right.
You know, let's say, hey, I appreciate that you have all this young talent, but now I got to trade you guys for veterans so we can go win all these games, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe he didn't want to have close ties to anybody because he was about to punt everybody.
Yeah. Think about, and by the way, Rondo's back with the Lakers. Think about what Rondo said. Rondo said all of his teammates grew up worshiping him. Imagine coming home and your dad wants you out of the house. That's basically what it was for these guys that worshiped LeBron every day going into work knowing LeBron was trying to get rid of them.
Never meet your heroes, man.
Never meet your heroes or play with them.
Except us, if we're your heroes, which means you're really shooting low.
Yes.
But let's say that you have some hero issues.
Yeah.
We can't be faulted for that.
No.
But if we're your heroes, we would love to meet you.
You guys are my hero.
Thank you, Shippy. We'd love for you to come have lunch with us at Pluckers in Dallas. Are you in?
Yeah, I'm on my way right now.
All right. All right. Good, good, good. Good having a rudderless ship.